In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. St. Mark tells us that after the long night that began with the Last Supper and the institution of the Holy Eucharist, and proceeded with his prayer in Gethsemane, the arrest and arraignment of Jesus, his interrogation, and his condemnation and scourging, Jesus ascended the hill of Golgotha and was crucified at the third hour. That is, at about 9 in the morning. St. Mark and St. Luke tell us that at noon, darkness came over the whole land until finally, at the ninth hour, that is, at about 3 in the afternoon, our Lord dies. Now, this chronology is important. The Church's observance of Good Friday is inextricably tied to the hours of that dreadful day, which is why we at All Saints gather at 9 for morning prayer, at midday for the litany, and at 3 for evening prayer. The first psalm appointed for the Good Friday office of evening prayer is Psalm 69. And this is a very important psalm, both in the scriptures and in the early church. After Psalm 22, which we recited at the Maundy Thursday Mass, and then this morning for morning prayer, which begins, my God, look upon me, why hast thou forsaken me? Psalm 69 is the most cited psalm of lament in the New Testament. St. Athanasius says that it foretells the holy cross, the grievous plots he bore, and how great things he suffered for our sakes. It is an account of the righteous sufferer, the servant of God, who endures the pains of persecution, reproach, and finally death. It is also a messianic psalm, a declaration of the suffering servant's appeal to God and his trust in God's redemption. The fathers of the church believed that the presence of Christ could be discerned in the Psalms. And here in Psalm 69, we can listen to the voice of Christ in the time of his passion. In those anguished moments, our Lord experiences both bodily and spiritual suffering. Save me, O God, for the waters are come in, even unto my soul. The opposition that Jesus experienced throughout his ministry swelled into a deadly wave of animus from the political and religious establishment. As verse 12 puts it, they that sit in the gate speak against me. These are the elders and the rulers arrayed in opposition to our Lord. I am come into deep waters so that the floods run over me. The image of water floods evokes the imminence of death, but more precisely, it should remind us of the sign of Jonah. Like the prophet Jonah, Jesus let himself be cast into the sea for the salvation of those in the ship, for those of us in the ark of salvation. Like the as the old Baptist hymn goes, in death's cold wave, I will not flee. And so Jesus does not flee from the violence he freely chose to endure. But he asks the Father in verse 16, let not the water flood drown me. In other words, do not let this suffering have the final say. Notice verses 5 and 7. I paid them the things I never took, and for thy sake have I suffered reproof. Jesus suffers for sin by his death upon the cross, though he himself is without sin. All of Christ's words and works were for the purpose of increasing the honor of his Father in the hearts of all men. But for this, as Jesus says in verse 8, like the patriarchs and the prophets of old, he became a stranger unto his brethren. Zeal for God's house hath even eaten me up. Jesus was not only persecuted and put to death by the religious and political establishment, but he was also abandoned by his closest friends, among whom were St. Peter, who in the hour of temptation began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not this man. Even though his disciples sorrowed at the foot of the cross, and even though the sword of grief passed through the heart of his mother, Our Lady, Jesus still finds none to comfort him. But it is the loving kindness of the Lord that is comfortable, that is strengthening. It is God who will draw nigh unto the soul of our Lord, as Psalm 69 says. who will bring him out of the mire and deliver him from the water floods. Jesus has confidence in the God who will vindicate him, even amidst the mockers and the scorners, the thieves and the hateful, and those who were just following orders, those who gave him gall to eat, and when he was thirsty, vinegar to drink. The fathers of the church observed on every page of the Psalter, in different ways and in different instances, what St. Augustine called the totus Christus, the whole Christ. In this psalm, we hear the voice of Christ. And because the Psalter conveys the whole Christ, the head and the body, we also hear the voice of Christ's body, the church. On Good Friday, we have the opportunity to grow in our devotion to Christ in a special way, to be with our Lord at Golgotha, to pay attention to his passion up to its final hour, and also to join the sufferings of the church, even the sufferings of our own lives, to his own offering to the Father. It is an invitation to offer and present unto God ourselves, our souls and bodies, to be a reasonable, holy, and living sacrifice in thanksgiving for what he has done for us. And at that offering, we are invited to trust in the God who will bring us with Christ through the dark waters, who will guide us with the staff of his cross. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.